Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all. The worship team is crushing it today, aren't they? Put your hands together and give a big thanks for all that they do. Yeah. These are faithful, faithful folks that come out very early on a Sunday morning and go home very late, come out on Thursday nights to rehearse and give their absolute best, and we are so blessed by them. It's great to have you guys with us today. We are in week number 4 and the conclusion of our Teen Taught series here in January called Creatures of Habit. This has been a great month. I hope you've enjoyed hearing from the pastoral team. We are blessed with a great crew. So glad to have them helping with this series. And it's a super series to start the month, to also start the year, because it kicks things off on the right foot. Next week, we start a brand new series called Blueprint. It's a relationship series, the entire month of February, dedicated to relationships. And also, you've heard a little bit said already, but you'll see those blue cards on your seats. The Together Family Weekend is coming up. Kicks off this Friday evening, goes all through the day on Saturday. Today is the last day to register, so if you've been waiting to see if your schedule clears up, book it today. Make it happen. You can come to this conference for less than it would cost to go to dinner. So make an investment in your marriage. Make an investment in your life. Whether you are married, we have married sessions, married life sessions. We have sessions for men and women, whether you're married or not. We all have relationships. Relationships make the world go round. Relationships can also grind our world to a halt when they're not working. So I encourage you to invest in this. Everything kicks off on Friday evening with one big night. This is our student worship conference with guest speaker Simon Gow. Our very own Root Band will be playing and be hosted by Pastor Brad. And then on Saturday, all throughout the day, morning and afternoon sessions, as well as a kids' pajama party palooza. Say that a few times. Adults, you can't wear your pajamas on Saturday, unfortunately, but the kids can. And so bring out the kids in the morning. We have sessions in the morning and the afternoon with Pastor John and Helen Burns, our good friends. And so we're looking forward to them being with us. God has used them internationally, teaching on married relationships, relationships in general, family relationships. And so you're not going to want to miss the sessions that we're going to have on the Saturday. It's going to bless you. It's going to be something that will supercharge your year as you go into it. So sign up today. Register either at the Welcome Center or when you get home, jump online on our website and you can do it there as well. All right, pull out your Bibles. We're going to jump into I Get to Land the Plane today with our Creatures of Habit series. We've covered a lot of territory over this month. We've defined habits. We've talked about how to make those habits, how to break them, how to develop habits that lead to our health and to the health of those around us. And then last week, we talked a little bit about creative devotions, that there are things that you can do in your life that will develop the kind of habits that will bring God's blessing in your life and not drag you further away from Him. Now, there is no silver bullet. There's no one thing that you can do that makes it all come together other than loving God. Because at the end of the day, it is how we align ourselves with Him that affects the decisions we make, and those decisions influence the habits that we develop. And we've talked about the fact that habits are incredibly powerful. They have great strength and force to them, and the decisions we make every day to develop those habits can make or break you. They can pull you down or pull you closer to the creator of the universe, the one who has spun it all in motion for you. And I can't think of a better month to start it than the beginning of a brand new year to take a hard look at how to harness the power of habits and create what really is a new normal as we embrace God's purpose for our lives. And with His help, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can develop the right kind of habits and walk in His blessing. You know, the philosopher Will Durant once said, "We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit." Now, this quote has often mistakenly been attributed to Aristotle, but it was actually Will Durant. But regardless of its source, it is powerfully true. We are what we repeatedly do. For me, I grew up in a career police officer's home. From the time I was born to the time I left home, my dad was in law enforcement. Went from walking the beat to being the chief of police. And so the law was always in my house. As a matter of fact, the decisions I made in life, especially in my younger years, were often done having a recurring nightmare that my father would lock me up and put me to jail if I did this or that. And so it kept me out of trouble for the most part. I still found ways to find myself into a little bit of it. But for the most part, the way he lived his life, the choice he made in his career, influenced my life. It influenced the way that I lived. As a matter of fact, as a small boy, seeing my dad in his uniform, seeing the things that he did, hearing the things he said, it affected my thinking. As a matter of fact, I can remember at an early age, we would jump in the car, my sister and I, my mom and dad, and head out on a road trip to go to see my grandma. And on the way, we would see sometimes a hitchhiker on the side of the road. As a matter of fact, I still feel it to this day. But back in the day, I remember my dad saying, "Don't forget, that's illegal. Don't ever pick up a hitchhiker." And so he would say that to me. And I heard it over and over again, to the point where when we would drive down the road and I would see a hitchhiker when I was a little boy, my face would get red and I would get very angry. And my mother would say, "Stephen, what's wrong?" I said, "That's illegal." And so I was. It was ingrained in me, right? And so to this day, I still twitch a little bit when I see somebody holding out their thumb on the freeway. So I feel that. But, you know, there's been some things around us in our community that you know, we are blessed with law enforcement. We're blessed to have them involved in our community. And I don't know if you remember, but a while back, we had the HOV lane added to the Trans-Canada. So from Langley, past the church, over the bridge, it made a huge difference in traffic. Traffic used to be a nightmare, and now there was this extra lane that if you had more than one person in your car, you could drive in this lane. Now, there is people to this day that will still have a look down the highway, and if they don't see a police officer on the side of the road, they will go for it. And as a matter of fact, in Walnut Grove, there is an entrance to the Trans-Canada and an exit that is kind of like the launch tube on the Galactica. Like, it's closed in. Every time I get on it, I feel that, right? And I accelerate onto the highway. But this thing is narrow, and once you turn into it, you are committed. Meaning if you drop into this exit or you get on to this exit, you've got nowhere to go. So if you look up the road and you see a police officer, they got you. If you drop into this exit and you see a police officer, people just begin to panic because they can't back up. They can't turn around. It's like the Venus flytrap. It's fantastic, right? And so there's been many times I've dropped into this lane and seen this yellow vest or this yellow jacket, and the same feeling comes up from when I was a boy. Illegal, right? And then I'm like, that's what you get. You do the crime, you pay the fine. You know what? Those words were the exact words that my father used when I was in my teens and I got my driver's license and I had gone through a stop sign. And I got points taken off and a fine, and it was going to take my license away from me for, I think, 3 months because I had another one, which was kind of a speeding infraction as well, just a small one. And so I said to my dad, I said, it was just a rolling stop at a stop sign. And somebody said, your dad, he's hooked up at the police department. You should be able to get that figured out. And I said, Dad, I'm going to have to walk for 3 months. He goes, yeah, I guess you're going to learn your lesson, aren't you? You do the crime, you pay the time. And it just echoed in my brain. And so to this day, I still feel that. My wife will attest to the fact that if we're driving on the highway and I see somebody pass me and they're driving in the HOV all by themselves, I will say, that's not right. That's illegal. Somebody needs to pull that guy over. And when I drop into this lane, I'm like, that's what you get. Enjoy your day, right? And so terrible, right? But it's the way I was brought up. And so a couple of weeks ago, because we are what we repeatedly do, we get into habits of things. And so for the most part, when I get into this lane and travel to the church, I have Susan in the car or the boys sometimes in the car. And so I enter and exit on this particular lane. And so a couple of weeks ago, I had to come to the church very early on a Sunday, and I was all by myself. And so I'm driving down the road, and I'm thinking about a million different things. I'm thinking about church. I'm thinking about the series. I'm praying for all of you. See, I'm trying to make it sound spiritual. I was praying for all of you. And so without realizing it, I just turned onto this lane all by myself and just sailed onto the freeway. And so I'm driving along, and it's not until I'm halfway to the church that I realize that I'm passing people going, oh, traffic is great this morning. And I realize that I'm all by myself driving in the HOV. I can hear my little voice, illegal, right? And it's like the blood rushes from my head, and I just quickly switch lanes and get into the next lane. It's just like it's the panic feeling came over me. And then I'm speaking in tongues, even more intense. Lord Jesus, don't let me get an expensive fine on the way to church today. And so I'm looking around. I'm looking at every car. There must be a ghost car next to me. Thankfully, I made it past. See, confession is good for the soul, right? So I'm letting you all know this morning. But it's incredible that the things we do day in and day out creates a groove in our lives that we call a habit. And these habits, this repeated behavior, produces something that is incredibly challenging to break free from. It's not an easy thing to break. But the truth is, there are many holy habits that God has purposed for our lives that when we repeatedly practice these habits that He wants for us, then we can establish His blessing in our lives. Habits that can see us furthered in what He's called us to do. And one of those keystone habits is the habit of generosity. And from the habit of generosity flows a couple of other habits, the habit of giving, the habit of serving, very important ones. But the habit of generosity is something that makes up the very nature of God Himself. Proverbs 22, verse 9 says, "He who has a generous eye will be blessed." We all need to develop a generous eye, to live our lives seeing the world through the lens of the Holy Spirit. A generous eye. We all need to develop that in our lives. Luke 6:38 makes it clear that there's this cause and effect relationship between what we're willing to give and how God will bless us in our lives, right? It talks about with the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And so what I'm talking about is not some kind of a strategy to game God's system and trick Him into blessing you. No, I'm not talking about that at all. And I also don't want to cheapen these scriptures to only mean one thing. They're not just talking about finances. They're not just talking about money. While certainly God may choose to bless you that way financially or tangibly, and there's scriptures to support that understanding, that's only a tiny fraction of how He might choose to engage with us or bless us in our lives. Generous living is all about opening your heart to the possibilities of God in your life and in the lives of the people that are around you, the lives of those who are influenced and affected by how you live yours, and how you see the need around you, how you see the world with that generous eye. The habit of generosity affects every part of our lives. It's that lens that we look through, and it influences the way that we invest our time and our finances. And if we want the full positive effect of what generosity, what that habit looks like in our lives, then it's something we need to practice over and over again. A couple of weeks ago, the faucet in my kitchen started to leak. I was like, there's a little puddle of water in the kitchen. So I get underneath the kitchen sink, and I can see it's coming from a hose. And I was busy. I didn't have time to fix it. So I kind of jimmied it up temporarily until I could get at it and fix it properly. And so underneath the sink is the recycling and the garbage can and everything. So I had to pull it all out, dry it all off, put the garbage can on the other side of the kitchen. And for the next 2 weeks, it took me 2 weeks to fix it, but I fixed it. And over that two-week time, every time we had some garbage, like you're cooking something, you do what you normally do, right? You keep opening that door, and you go to put it in, and there's nothing in there. And I can hear Susan going, right? Because I've taken it out. And so we started to walk across the other side of the kitchen and put it in the garbage. And so I could hear everybody going to put the garbage, right? It's not there. And they crossed the kitchen. Now, at the end of 2 weeks, I finally fixed the faucet. And it was nice and dry. So I moved everything back under the sink where it belonged. Now, the flip side had happened because it took 2 weeks to kind of break that habit and establish a new one. Now, everybody was walking to the other side of the kitchen to drop off the garbage. Oh, and it wasn't there. It was back where it belonged. See, repeated behavior over and over again. What you practice influences everything that you do. And generosity is something that needs to become a daily habit, a daily practice. And the habits of giving and serving should flow from a generous heart, not out of a place of guilt or manipulation. I've been in environments before where I feel the pressure of somebody trying to guilt me or manipulate me into giving of my time or giving of my finances. And I'll shut down. I'll just put my arm out and walk away from it. See, I need to understand that God wants to bless me even more than I want to see that kind of blessing in my own life. And so he's trying to get that kind of living to you, not just so that you can live in an overabundance, but so that your overflow can be a blessing to other people, that God can work in and through your life to be an answer to the prayers of the people that are around you. Because there's all kinds of people that are praying and believing God for miracles, and God can use you to give a word of encouragement, to give some finances, to step up and encourage somebody. Sometimes it takes just a little. So let's look at both of them. Let's start by looking at the habit of serving. Serving, in its simplest form, is a Christ-like way of living. Jesus himself didn't come to the world to be served. He didn't say, this is the big throne I'm going to sit on. Everybody needs to bring me something at certain times of the day. No, Jesus came to serve. Towel in hand, water basin, washing the disciples' feet, showing them that the greatest in the kingdom of God is the one who serves. Matthew 20, verse 28 says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, throughout the history of the church, Christians have grappled with how to live out the good news of Christ so that the kingdom can be established, both in the here and now and in the world to come. And our calling as Christ followers is to make known the good news by living his kingdom there as it is here. It's to try to align those two things up. So every act of love, every act of justice, every act of peace gives us a taste of how God's world should be, of how it could be, the potential. It gives us hope that change can come. And so in exploring this habit, we learn to live out this calling personally in our everyday work, in our church, in our community, to not just be functional within these four walls, but to influence the world around us in practical ways. And we live out this calling in partnership with many other people, with church members in small groups, serving alongside of people on the many Team Calvary teams that are here at the church. When you drive in the parking lot, you see people in the rain, in the snow, in the poor weather, in the sunshine, with a big smile on their face, with an umbrella, welcoming you as you come. You meet someone else at the door who volunteers to shake your hand to open the door. Someone who shows you to your seat, an usher who's very helpful in what he's doing. Someone at the welcome center. You've got people on the worship team who come early, who go home late, who serve, who teach, people who teach in the student ministry, in the kids ministry, who volunteer in the media room, at the sound desk. There's people all over this church that are practicing the habit of serving, that are in their lives giving generously of their time. But you know what? The encouragement of their example is hopefully going to influence you to step up and say, you know what? I can be a part of the solution too. I can do something. And sometimes that's just offering a kind word. You can be generous in your words. There are people that come in that you know, in the inclement weather, the parking is limited. And so some people get frustrated and say some things that are regrettable. But you know what? I want to salute these fine people that are on. I want to salute all our teams, but I want to say specifically a specific thanks to our parking team. These guys are all-stars. They're on the front line. They are the first impressions of the church, and they deal with some of the most wonderful people that you can imagine, and also some very challenging people that say some challenging things sometimes. Yeah, let's give them a hand. Last week, we had our guest lunch, and they had a big lunch there, and there was close to 70 people, I think. Simon was there doing a fantastic job leading our connections team, and Shanna was there. They were doing their thing, just fantastic. And so then I see a couple of the guys come in from the parking lot. They're soaked, man. They're covered in rain. But you know what? They still smile. They're still committed. They understand what Christ-like service is all about. These are professionals. These are people who do incredible things throughout the week in their careers, but they take time to invest by serving, because they know in serving the people, they are serving God. And so you can be generous too. You can roll down your window instead of getting frustrated sometimes because you can't find your favorite spot. Say something nice to this crew. These guys are amazing. Tell them how much you love them. Tell them what a great job they're doing. When somebody sees you to your seat or welcomes you or teaches your children, tell them what an incredible job they're doing. Be generous with your words, because those that are serving with their whole heart. But you know what? It goes beyond our church. It goes beyond the four walls of what we do here every Sunday. And without those people volunteering, we wouldn't have the services we do. We are blessed because we are a team working together. But beyond this church, we also partner with some other amazing ministries, so with some other churches as well. We serve with ministries like Night Shift, and our teams are making food, sandwiches and soup, and handing out food on cold winter nights in Wally to our street friends. These are opportunities you have, if you're interested, to get involved, to serve. But it's important that we don't just have a closed-in, bless-me club. We want a church that makes a difference in its community. And so we go to great lengths to do that. We also partner with groups like the City Dream Center. This is an incredible thing as we adopt inner-city schools to help families that don't go to church, that have nothing to do with our church, but that are fighting to find the means to even buy school supplies for their kids. We can help them do that. We provide food hampers at Christmas and other times of the year so that when they want to have a Christmas celebration but don't have the means, that we can be a part of influencing our community. And then beyond that, our city and our nation. The practical gospel is a very powerful one, and it needs to be balanced with everything that we learn scripturally. Now, serving is, I think, at its best when it's mutual and reciprocal. So you need to understand the benefits and the value of not only being a giver, but receiving. So that when somebody blesses you, that you don't go, oh, no, I don't need that. You receive it. Because in doing that, you can be a blessing to the person who's blessing you. We need to find that balance between the two. And so as Christ followers, we're part of this tradition that seeks holiness wherever we are, and whatever we're doing. And our theology of biblical service is an expression of our understanding of God's desire for a world that reflects his very own generous heart, that his love can be seen through our lives. The second habit that flows from generosity is the habit of giving. Now, our finances are an important and tangible part. It's an expression of our lives. We work hard, we put in a certain amount of hours, and somebody writes us a check. It represents our hard work. And so usually we're generously giving to the things that we believe in, and our hearts and our passions are engaged in this process, or at least they should be. And so plant seed in things that you know produce good fruit. I can tell you, as you look at the people that serve every Sunday, as you see the next generation influenced and worshiping and leading, that this is good ground. And if this is your home, if this is your church family, I challenge you to become a part of the generosity that leads to the fruit that we're believing for as people grow in God. But let me stop there and say that one of the things we've learned over this last month is our human limitation to break old habits and to establish new ones. Because where you start this year will determine how you finish this year. And the holy habits that you desire in your life and even start can only be sustained. You can only keep them up if you start in the right place, if you start with Him. If you're going to go in a marathon or a race, you need to find the starting line so that you can accurately determine your progress. For us, we need to make sure that we start with the right place and with the right focus. Romans 12:2 says this about that. Fix your attention, where? On God. So start with God. Because when you do, you'll experience a completely different dynamic. So instead of trying to resolve that you're going to change things on the outside and hope that somehow it influences my life on the inside, the Bible says you will be changed from the inside out. And so readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. Has He brought the best out of you? You have that opportunity this year to see that happen. Those habits you desire and practice repeatedly, bringing about that lasting change, which the Bible says develops well-formed maturity in you. For those of you that are parents that have kids, you want to see your children develop with well-formed, well-rounded, balanced maturity. God wants the same for you and I. And that's the steps that this series has provided to identify the habits that will mold you and shape you to strengthen your faith and reflect His nature. Now, that means putting first things first in your life. I mean, every day, every minute of every day. The Bible has plenty to say about first. How does the book start? You rewind back to the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. In your marriage, in the beginning, God. In your family, in the beginning, God. In your career, in the beginning, God. In your finances, in the beginning, God. Start everything with Him. Go to the beginning and honor Him first. This should be our default in every single thing that we do. And like habits, first things have great power. The Bible talks about this. The Bible says that we are to what? Seek first the kingdom. That we're ought to honor God with the first fruits. All of these scriptures lead us to a God first life. God first, God first, God first, God first. Did I mention? God first. God first. That's the challenge if you take anything from this series with the habits we develop, is to live a God first life. How do we do that? We do that by giving Him the first of everything that we have. Now, many of us understand that the principle and habit of tithing, of giving the first tenth, actually goes beyond just our finances. Not only is that a key to understand God's blessing in your life when it comes to your income, it actually leads to something much bigger. God has something even bigger in mind when He talks about the tenth. He actually wants a tithe of your thoughts, of your time, your talents, your gifts, your words, your finances. So when you see people serving, doing incredible things, give out of the generosity of your heart. Allow your words to make an investment into somebody's life. Leviticus 27:30 says, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. It's setting things apart. Watch this. Deuteronomy 14:23. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your life. Put God first in your life. I want to encourage you this year to open your heart to God, to practice the habit of putting God first in how you serve, in how you love, in how you give, in how you speak. Make this the year that you live a God-first life in everything that you do. But in order to live a God-first life, obviously you need to make Him first. You need to first make that decision to follow Him, to make Him the first in everything. And we're still in the month. We still got a few days left. And so my encouragement to you is to give him the first part of your year. That's why every year we do 21 days of prayer, which today is our last day. We've had about 120 people online with a devotion, praying, reading scripture together, encouraging one another. It's wonderful to see you all participate. It blesses me as pastor. But I pray that you would start this year with him, that you would give him the first part of your year. Second thing I want to, as I close, encourage you to do is to give him the first of your month. Don't try to fit God into your already busy schedule. When you sit down with your spouse or sit down alone and you factor out a budget, you look at the payments and the bills that you have to pay, don't leave God at the end of that list and give him what's left over. Don't leave God at the end of the list of to-dos where you invest your time in all of these other areas and you give him a tip at the end of it all. God wants to be at the top of that list. Honor God first in your time and in the investment of your own finances, because as you do, he will take what you have and multiply it. Oftentimes we're struggling to add things to our life when God wants to multiply things within us. Make him first. I challenge you this year, even if you've been giving sporadically, I challenge you to honor him with the tenth, to make that commitment to God. Put him to the test. The Bible says that we can walk in that way. And I guarantee you at the end of the year, you will see God miraculously move and work within your life. He has never left me without, or my family. From the moment I said yes to God, I honored him with the tenth and then some. I give more than the tenth because you cannot outgive God. He will always be there to bless you. Then you need to give him the first of your week. You're doing that today. Make gathering together as a community within the church an important part of your week. What would your life look like if you didn't miss a single Sunday and you were here with your spouse, with your family, that you were here celebrating God? You were here fellowshipping and drawing on the strength of other people. I guarantee you this, at the end of 2020, your life will be in better shape. Your faith will be stronger than ever before because you're moving in a direction in community. And when you commit to one another, people know that they can count on you. So start your week celebrating. And then finally, give him the first of your day. Start the day in prayer and worship, reading the scripture. Now, you may not be a morning person. I'm a bit of a night owl, to be honest. Sometimes it's hard to smile for the first 2 hours for me in the top of the day. Now, my wife, she wakes up with a smile. Birds are singing. That's her mode. She's an early morning person. I'm a late night person. But you know what? There's something about starting your day with God that sets a tone for the entire day. It affects everything that you do. Take time with God. What would your life look like if you gave him the first of your year, your month, your week, your day? The simple practice of the first is that when you give him the first, he takes care of the rest. He multiplies what we cannot. Again, what we struggle to add, he's saying, I don't just want to add things to you. I want to multiply what you have in your hand. And maybe it only looks like a couple of loaves and some fishes. Put it in the hands of God and watch him miraculously multiply it. Find a place to serve. Find a place to love and to use that generous eye that God is developing within you. Proverbs 3, 6 to 10 says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns, the Bible says, will be filled to overflowing. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have room for a barn in my house. Most of us don't. Some of you may have a barn here today. I don't know. But for most of us, we don't have that. So it's kind of like an old world kind of concept. But what the scripture really means is that your life will be filled. Your barn, the vats that you have will overflow with new wine. God wants your life to overflow, not just to give you a little bit. He wants to overtake you with his blessing so that you in turn can be a blessing to others. Would you put God first today? Would you put him first this year? Let's take a moment and pray as we close. As you bow your heads and close your eyes, I am mindful of the fact that each one of us desire to walk in his purpose and his blessing for our lives. But I also know that today, this morning, whether you're online or here in the house, that there's some of you that are seeking answers. Maybe you've been coming to church with a friend and you're hearing what I'm saying. And you're saying, Pastor Steve, I need the Jesus you're talking about. I need to put him first in my life. Today is the day you can make the best decision of your life. Start your year the way it should be started. Today, I'm not here to embarrass you or to call you out, but I don't want to miss this opportunity to pray with you, to put God first. If that's you today, as everyone's head is bowed and everyone's eye is closed, if you'll say, Pastor Steve, include me in that prayer. I want to put God first. I need to know Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. If that's you, slip up your hand nice and high all over this place so that I can see it. Yes, thank you. Anybody else? Lift it up nice and high so I can see where you're at. Yeah, thank you. Anybody over here? Up in the back? Yeah, thank you, sir. Over here in the back, thank you. Yes, on the main floor down here, thank you. Slip up your hand nice and high so that I can see it. Thank you. That's awesome. Anybody else? I don't want to miss you. You see, Pastor Steve, I need to put Jesus first so that the rest will be taken care of by him. If that's you, yeah, thank you in the back. Thank you. Yes, that's wonderful. All right, with every head bowed, every eye closed, Calvary, I want you to pray this simple prayer. And those of you that put up your hand, I want you to pray it from the depths of your heart. Just be honest. And as we pray this prayer with you, we want you to know as a church, we're standing with you. If you don't have a home church, this is a great one. If you do, then dig in there and grow in God. But today, if you put up your hand, I want you to pray this simple prayer, and the rest of us are going to pray it with you. Let's pray this together. Lord Jesus, I thank you today for giving your life so that I could live mine. Help me, Lord, to live a God-first life. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and be my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Calvary, put your hands together for all those decisions. It's going to be a great year. Now bow your head one more time. I want to pray for all of you today that we, each one of us, in our business, in our marriage, in our relationships, in our church, in our community, that every one of us would put God first this year. That we would put him where he belongs. Not at the end of the list, but at the top of the list. Father, I pray for every person that hears my voice, either online or in this house. Today we make a decision to live a God-first year, to live a God-first life in our giving, in our words, in our time. We honor you with our lives. And we pray, God, that your blessing would be established within everything that we do as we honor you first with everything we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.